Blog Talk Radio.
Help me surrender my control, searching for the depth of my own soul. I breathe the far beneath, my cover keeps the red from the
Alien Podcast, with your hosts Paul Mano and Matt McAfee. Episode 2, Nikola Tesla.
Welcome to Alien Podcast, Episode 2, Mr. Nikola Tesla. How you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm doing well. How are you doing this evening?
Not bad, not bad. I finally was able to get quite a few things taken care of here before we jumped on the air, and I hopefully have all of those things ready to go here for this episode.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. We're going to start out tonight with something a little bit different. We're going to start out with a new segment. So we're going to go ahead and launch that here right now.
Early Friday morning, SpaceX launched its 15th cargo mission to the International Space Station for NASA, sending up nearly 6,000 pounds of supplies on top of its Falcon 9 rocket. On board are shipments of food and water for the six astronauts living on board the ISS, as well as new science experiments and technologies to be tested in microgravity. Also on board is the space station's first ever AI crew member. The robot, nicknamed Simon for Crew Interactive Mobile Companion, looks quite a lot like a volleyball with a computer screen on the side. The screen displays a simplified cartoon face that the bot will use to interact with humans on board. To maneuver around, Simon is equipped with 14 internal fans that propel him around by sucking the station's air and expelling it to move in whatever direction he needs. Airbus developed Simon for Germany's National Space Agency. The goal is to see whether intelligent bots can cooperate with astronauts to simplify work life in space. NASA has announced that they have once again delayed the launch of the James Webb Space Telescope for another 10 months. The liftoff of Webb, the successor to the agency's iconic Hubble Space Telescope, has been pushed back from May 2020 to March 2021. The rescheduling is the latest in a series of delays for Webb, which NASA had originally hoped to launch in 2007. Large organic molecules blasted into space from deep-sea vents on one of Saturn's moons show it contains all of the basic requirements for life as we know it. Plumes of material from cracks in Enceladus's icy surface were sampled by NASA spacecraft Cassini shortly before it plunged into the Saturn atmosphere. Dr. Christopher Glean, a space scientist specializing in extraterrestrial chemical oceanography, said the new findings mean the distant moon is the only body besides Earth known to simultaneously satisfy all of the basic requirements for life as we know it. NASA's hunt for extraterrestrial life seems to be heating up again. Scientists have cataloged more than 3,500 exoplanets, some of which may have been capable of fostering life, but they admit that they simply do not know. The ability to detect life on distant worlds still eludes us, but a new project coordinated by NASA now takes us on a significant step closer to achieving that goal. Six new papers published in the Science Journal of Astrobiology are providing a launching point for scientists on the hunt for signs of life on planets outside of our solar system. The new papers outline various ways in which extraterrestrial biosignatures may be detected using current and future technologies, and what scientists should be looking for in that data. Encouragingly, scientists say it's extremely possible that we'll detect atmospheric biosignatures of potentially habitable planets by the year 2030, while cautioning that definitive proof of alien life will likely come later, after more rigorous analysis and more powerful telescopic techniques. To stay up to date with everything happening in the universe, check out alienpodcast.net.
Yeah.
something a little bit different there to jump into news like that, but we thought, what the hell? Let's try it.
Yeah. That's a few news items you don't get anywhere else.
And that's true. You really have to be paying attention in order to get them.
Well, you may get them months down the road.
That's true.
Yeah. You know how the government works with all that and the media and everything else. So.
Oh, come on. The government's right up front with everybody about everything,
sure
aren't they?
Uh-huh. You just keep on believing that.
Yeah. All right. Tonight's episode is about Nikola Tesla, the Serbian inventor that was here in the United States and was Thomas Edison's primary rival. I have a clip here to get us started out, Paul, that I think that you might enjoy a little bit. It's from The Big Bang Theory. Recently, it seems that the show, they have been choosing sides in the Edison-Tesla debate. So let's hear what they have to say.
What's going on?
Sheldon went to the Air Force behind our backs.
I did nothing of the sort. I had an idea for a neutrino-based communication system. I presented it to them, and they were interested.
But your communication system was based on our guidance system.
And sonar is based on bats. You don't see them hanging upside down in a patent attorney's office.
You know what? You like to think that you're just like Tesla, but the truth is, you're exactly like Edison.
You take that back.
No?
He's right. You are a bully, a credit hog, and a self-promoter. And if anyone around here is like Tesla, it's us.
Yeah.
Can you believe they said I was just like Edison? Yeah, in front of a lady, no less.
But you are building on their work and taking the credit for it. That's a classic Edison move.
Oh, yeah? Well, if I'm Edison and you love me, then what does that say about you?
All right. For those of you that may not know a whole hell of a lot about Nikola Tesla and Thomas Edison, they became rivals when Tesla first moved to this country. Tesla worked for Thomas Edison at the time. Well, he worked for the Thomas Edison Electric Company. And when he moved here to the United States, he did so with the blessing of his supervisor, who wrote a letter on behalf of Tesla to Thomas Edison. When Tesla presented the letter to Edison, Edison said, "All right, let's see what you have." Tesla brought up this wild idea about something that he had discovered called alternating current. Edison did not like the idea of alternating current at all. Why? Because he was already very well invested in direct current technology. Since he was already involved with direct current, he was trying to push the United States in the direction of direct current. If you don't really know what the difference between direct current and alternating current is, I guess the easiest way to explain it is direct current is usually what we find today generated by batteries.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I'm not big on electricity or any of that. Not really sure, but I think you are right with that.
In Tesla's lifetime, he holds about 300 patents all around the world. Of course, most of them here in the United States, but he does hold them in other countries as well. The man is responsible for the entire modern age as we know it. I don't honestly think that we would have much of the technology that we have today if it wasn't for the work of Tesla. This was a man who, believe it or not, everyone, he envisioned cell phones in 1929. He came out and was talking about it. He talked about things at the time. He referred to it as a thought camera. And that was the ability to be able to see the images that a person had in their mind. We now know that as an MRI. Some of the other work that he had done was Tesla was very key in the development of the X-ray. In fact, one of the very first X-rays, if you've ever seen the X-ray of skeleton of the left hand, more than likely, it's probably the actual picture that Nikola Tesla took when he was developing the X-ray.
Yeah, he did, and that that was a long time ago, though. That was the one that the one that most people had seen in the first place. It was his baby, so to speak, on that.
Yeah.
as was a lot of other things in electricity.
There again, talking about the conflict between Edison and Tesla, when Tesla was actually developing the X-ray, he decided that it was pretty much a useless technology. He was more concerned with other things, so he kind of pushed it off to the side. Well, when he did that, Edison got the idea that he was going to take it. When Edison took it over, what a lot of people don't realize is I believe there was one, if not two, of Edison's assistants. Actually, they ended up being the scientists who actually did all of the work for Edison. One of them died because of exposure to X-rays. That's just kind of a different side note on there that most people are not even aware of, was that Edison was so obsessed with Tesla that basically he was trying to take anything that Nikola Tesla would throw away, for instance, the X-ray machine, and Edison was trying to profit off of it himself. Now, this is something that is not new for Thomas Edison, nor was it ever. In fact, again, the Big Bang Theory actually had an episode where they spoke about how greedy that Edison was with money.
This is about the rivalry between a cool renegade scientist, Nikola Tesla, and his arch nemesis, Thomas Edison.
It's the greatest scientific feud of all time. I mean, you can forget about Leibniz and Newton.
Done. So, Tesla's the one that invented the electric car?
No, Penny, no. The car is just named after him.
Okay, you don't have to be so smug about it. You know, you went to see the movie It because you thought it was about scary IT guys.
Tesla was a genius who invented our electrical grid. Edison just wanted to get rich and famous.
Didn't he invent the light bulb?
That's what he wants you to think. But without the foundational work of Ebenezer Kindersley, Warren De La Rue, and James Bowman Lindsay, you wouldn't know Edison any more than you know Ebenezer Kindersley, Warren De La Rue, or James Bowman Lindsay.
Isn't he sexy all fired up? He really gets my current alternating, if you know what I mean.
Edison was kind of a publicity hog and a bully.
Yeah, he electrocuted an elephant named Topsy just to make himself famous.
I thought that was a pretty good little reference right there. That was part of Edison's extremity that he would go to in trying to discredit Tesla, was when what became known as the current wars were raging between Edison and Tesla. Tesla, of course, was trying to get his AC units introduced for the public use. Edison was competing against him to have direct current. To show the public that alternating current was not safe, he actually used alternating current to electrocute an elephant in public. This was not the first time he had done it. Before, the elephant had been known to electrocute a lot of animals, like dogs and cats. He was kind of out of his mind trying to derail everything that Tesla did. For the past 100 and so years, that's exactly what's happened, is he's pretty much derailed everything that Tesla did, and the world really hasn't known about Tesla's work.
No, and that's because Edison did a lot of grandstanding and everything else that went along with it to make his name more prevalent than what Tesla's name was.
You know, Edison was in bed with a lot of people too, like J.P. Morgan.
Right, yeah. So... and not really a quality human being in the end either, so...
No.
It's too bad a lot of his stuff actually came to be when it actually should not have came to be. But, you know, he spent his life stealing other people's ideas and building on other people's ideas and trying to make everybody else look bad in the process. And, you know,
right. He's been
just an all-out jerk, in my opinion.
Right. He actually was. He's been sold off to the American people and really everyone around the world as this great inventor. He was none of that.
Yeah, I can remember, and you probably remember it as well, when you're in grade school, they made him out to be like the biggest thing that ever was, you know, because
right.
He invented the light bulb and he invented this and he invented that. And he was just so great. And then you get older and you read about him and you find out that he was more or less a fraud, if anything.
It's kind of funny how, when you look back on it, things that we were taught when we were younger has really sort of now become the alternate history.
Right.
Because the world is starting to wake up. You have, like you said, he was glorified, really, to school children.
Yes.
You have other people that were the same way. George Armstrong Custer was another great one who was glorified exactly the same way. But
right.
The more we find out about history, we find out that was all a lie as well. That Custer was more or less a coward who attacked women and children, and that's the reason why Sitting Bull rained down on him the way he did.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how the things we were taught as kids and how many of them have actually just turned out to be not true or extremely exaggerated.
Right. It's really good to see that the world is finally coming around to it, waking up to Nikola Tesla. More and more people are finding out about him. It's really amazing to me. It's such a damn cool thing to see, because I've known about him ever since the early 80s, I think, was when I first read about Nikola Tesla. When I first started reading about him, I was like, what the hell is wrong with the world? Why did they run that man out? I don't think most people realize that, of course, his alternating current won out against Edison's direct current. You had Thomas Edison now, who was more or less disgraced by that. You have Tesla building his power plant at Niagara Falls to power the entire state of New York. This tremendous movement forward for all of humanity. When Tesla did all of that, he was working with George Westinghouse of the Westinghouse Corporation. And when he sold his patent, the idea to it was, okay, you can have this technology, but Westinghouse had to pay him $2.50, I believe it was every watt of electricity that he was able to produce. Well, several years goes by. Westinghouse comes in. He says, look, I'm being sued by J.P. Morgan and Thomas Edison over General Electric. General Electric has all of these lawsuits against me. All of my money is tied up. Our company is bankrupt. Westinghouse is bankrupt. Tesla listened to what he had to say. Tesla walked into his office. He reached in a drawer and he pulled out the original contract that he had. Now, at that time, I want to say it was about $28 million is what that $2.50 per watt had made Tesla at that point. Mm-hmm. Tesla, when he grabbed that contract, he ripped it up in front of Westinghouse. He said something to the effect of, without Westinghouse, I have no way of bringing my inventions to the world. He understood the importance of what he was doing back then. If you don't really realize what that is, you have to keep in mind, this occurred during the very early 1900s. In fact, it may have even been the late 1800s when he did that. When you take that dollar amount that he had of somewhere around $28 million, you put that in today's terms, guess what? All of a sudden, he's got more money than Bill Gates. He's probably pushing, if not beyond, Jeff Bezos of Amazon. That's how much money we were talking about. This man believed in the future of humanity. He wanted the absolute best for humanity because he thought that we had turned ourselves into prisoners, more or less. You know, everybody's working 9 to 5. Of course, back then they were working a hell of a lot longer than that even. He wanted everyone to be able to expand their minds.
Something here that I find a little interesting as I was looking at Wikipedia here, and I've noticed that it makes no mention of his involvement in the Philadelphia experiment.
That's actually a very interesting point, is that's something that you never really hear a whole lot about. For many people out there, you may or may not know what the Philadelphia experiment is. That's probably a completely different topic for us for a different show. The Navy was looking for a way to be able to make our ships invisible to radar. Nikola Tesla, in the late 1800s, while living in Colorado, story of it goes that he had actually been hit, I believe it was 3.5 million volts of electricity that shot into his body. When he told the story, he said it came in through his right shoulder. And the next thing he knew, in his words, he could see the past, the present, and the future all at the same time.
Right.
He claimed that he was able to open up another dimension. He was basically able to cause a rift in the space-time continuum. Therefore, he was able to see all three things simultaneously. When that happened, apparently someone in the government took it pretty seriously. Years later, they asked Tesla to start developing this work for the idea of making the Navy ships invisible to radar. From the stories that are out there, Tesla did work on this. He died before the Philadelphia experiment actually occurred. However, he was a major contributor to the work, and Albert Einstein ended up being the chief scientist for the Philadelphia experiment along with some other people. But it's actually a very, very interesting story that more or less his Tesla coils are what was responsible for the Eldridge disappearing from one shipyard, appearing in Norfolk, right, Virginia, and then returning back to that shipyard a couple hundred yards away from where it had originally been.
Yeah, he had actually left the program, though, shortly after their first experiment, because he found that it was going to be too dangerous to do, and he, you know, wanted really no part of, you know, what the possibility of happening to the people involved in it was going to be. But a lot of it was his technology was a big part of it. And
right.
He just didn't want to be involved in it because he knew what the cost was going to be ultimately with that. And I don't think he wanted to be a part of that.
Right. But I think he was more worried about the human lives that were going to be involved.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what it was. And that story doesn't really get told much. And when it does get told, it doesn't really get told the people that were involved in it.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't believe that it happened. To me, all the particulars that come along with that story, it's almost a little hard to believe that it didn't happen.
Right. One telltale thing, that is the Navy and the Department of Defense have denied it all along. That never happened. There's all types of debunkers out there working on it. And they've said, no, it didn't happen. To me, the most telling thing about it all is the fact that the first 3 months of the USS Eldridge log is missing. It's literally been ripped out. The pages are gone. Why would you do that? That log keeps track of everything that happens to that ship. Every Navy ship has a log, and it stays with it for the entire life. And then once the ship has been retired and the Navy decides to turn it into razor blades or sink it or whatever, they take that log and it's filed with the DOD. You don't just go around ripping out pages of those logs. It doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. And you know, but like you said, that's a story for another show, which I'm sure we'll get to at some point. Cause I think that's a story that a lot of people don't know of or don't know very much of. And the movies that have been done are not, they're way off with it. And,
right.
Nothing true to the story, so to speak. So.
Right. They're, at least the first one I thought was very entertaining. I wasn't necessarily
right.
a big fan of the second one, but however,
no.
the first one was pretty good, though.
But it falls way short of actually being something that kind of tells the story of what happened.
Right.
You know, and one other thing here with, as far as Tesla went, was the his design for the wireless power. And,
yes, and Warden,
you know,
Smith.
Right. And people don't realize that that is a possibility today.
Yeah, and it very much is. And for those of you that don't really know a whole lot about Tesla's wireless electric idea, basically he developed this idea while he was living in Colorado Springs. When he came back to New York, he went out to Long Island, and he was being financed by J.P. Morgan, although he pretty much lied to J.P. Morgan because he knew what the answer was going to be. He told J.P. Morgan he was working on something else, but he went out to Long Island, and he started building this tower. His idea was it was going to be the first tower worldwide to provide the entire world with free electricity. Of course, when J.P. Morgan found this out, J.P. Morgan called him into his office, and as the story goes, that J.P. Morgan looked at Tesla, and he said, if it's free, then where do I put the meter? In other words, we cannot be giving away electricity for free, and he pulled all Tesla's financing. Tesla could not complete the Wardenclyffe Tower, and more or less it sent him into a financial ruin at the time. Several years later, the tower was set on fire, and it was eventually knocked over and destroyed.
If you think about it, wireless power that would cost just a fraction of what it does today, you know?
Yeah, if you think about it, you wouldn't need linesmen or anything like that. You would never have to worry about if there were some type of natural disaster. You would never have to worry about your city being out of electricity or your home being out of electricity or anything like that. Basically, you're going to be connected at all times. When you take a look at things he was working on, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, that would have been impossible. No, it wouldn't have been. And in fact, that's what Tesla was kind of known for. He was known as the person who would make outlandish claims. The media got to a point because of Edison, they would kind of laugh at him. But sure shit, Tesla would show up, and guess what? He did exactly what he said he could. He did that repeatedly with different things. Everybody thought, well, Tesla was just eccentric and he was completely out there. No, the man really wasn't. He knew what the hell he was talking about, and it was the rest of the world that was too stupid to understand what he was trying to do.
Yeah, but isn't that usually how the world goes?
Yeah.
If it sounds too far-fetched, then, well, then he's got to be a quack. You know, a lot of things could have been different had the world listened to him, too.
Oh, God, yeah. I couldn't even imagine how the world would be had we have listened to him. It goes beyond just wireless electricity. He wanted electric cars, electric planes, everything. He had developed so much technology. Remote control, the radio was another thing. And of course, that was another big controversy in Tesla's life. It's been known as the Great Radio Controversy, which was between him and Marconi. Somehow, to this day, Marconi is the person who gets credit for the invention of the radio. However, when it was brought to Tesla's attention that Marconi was actually able to transmit wirelessly, Tesla looked at him. He said, well, he should have been able to. He used 13 of my patents. So here we had Marconi that lied to the world. He didn't invent anything. He used Tesla's patents. It was well known that Marconi actually was an assistant to Tesla at one time. That's how he got his hands on this information. It became this big battle. Marconi, however, had filed for the patents. The story goes on. Marconi gets credited for creating the radio. However, 6 months after Nikola Tesla dies, the Supreme Court overturns it. And they say, no, Marconi didn't invent it. It was actually Tesla. The Supreme Court never said it was Tesla who invented the radio. What they said was, no, Marconi's patents are invalid, which by default goes back to Nikola Tesla, because he did have patents, but they were for different areas. And all Marconi did was put Tesla's patents together, his different inventions together, to create radio. However, it was also widely known that 5 or 6 years before Marconi ever made that first transmission, that Tesla was already making transmissions with the radio. If people have ever heard of the Black Knight satellite, which is what people believe is possibly an extraterrestrial satellite that travels around our planet, a lot of people believe it has been in our orbit for 15,000 years or more. A lot of people say there's far too much proof, but there again, another episode.
Right.
Tesla, when he was in Colorado, transmitted a broadcast into space, and he started listening. According to Tesla, he received a transmission back. what Tesla received back, he said, was very distinctly 1, 2, 3. Well, when he received that, Tesla actually came out in the newspapers and he said, I have received a broadcast from space, which should have proved to the world that Tesla had the ability to transmit and receive long before Marconi ever come along. If you go to the Broadcaster Awards, they're given out every year for mainstream radio. Guess what award they receive? The Marconi
Award. It's not the Tesla Award.
No.
That's just one more thing that he just didn't. I don't think he wanted the fame enough to. People stole his ideas because they knew they could.
Right. A lot of it, I think, comes down to Tesla's idea of robots. Of course, he wasn't the first person to speak about robots, automation, and things like that. He made it very clear that he felt that in the future, society should develop autonomous units to take work away from mankind, not so that man would be out of work. It was right. So that man would have more time to focus on their thoughts and be able to expand our knowledge and be able to push further into the universe.
Robots would mean man would get lazy and
right.
He would turn to other leisurely activities instead of trying to think or to better the world, you know.
Or if you've ever seen the movie WALL-E, just travel around the universe on big luxury cruise line.
Right. I think if he'd have been more aggressive in certain areas, I think there would have been a lot of different changes. But I just don't think the fame and fortune was what he was after.
Yeah, I don't think it was either.
In some ways, he seemed kind of full of himself, and in other ways, he didn't.
I think he was very confident in his work. I don't think he necessarily wanted the recognition for it.
That's probably more like it. That's not what he was after, and that's kind of his life. And we're not really, you know, we're not really here to come and tell you the story of him. People could read that for themselves. It's more of what we think of it and some of the things that he was doing, but. One of the other things that I find interesting was that when he died, how fast the government moved in to grab all of his papers and information that he had, you know, for all his work.
Yeah, that's actually very, very interesting. I recently seen some reports that say that there was FBI or OSS person who showed up and who was impersonating the hotel manager. Of course, the Hotel New Yorker where Tesla died at was basically telling reporters, no, you have to leave here. Everything was gathered up between the day he died and the following day and taken out of there. And they were taken to the OSS. Kind of a cool tie-in to modern times is when they took everything out of there, they took everything to a professor at MIT. Professor's name happened to be John Trump. Of course, that's our current president's uncle. He was the one who went through all of the paperwork. He wrote it off and said, nope, there's nothing in here of any value. The paperwork was taken back and the trunks were all kept for Tesla's family. However, according to reports, there were as many as 20 missing trunks. Contained in those trunks, they believe, were possibly Tesla's absolute best work, which is rather interesting when you start taking a look at some of the things that he had in mind for the future of humanity.
Right. Why was all that stuff so quickly confiscated? Why has it never been brought to the public's knowledge? How much of it actually has been put into industry?
Right.
How much of it hasn't been put into industry? And if it hasn't, why hasn't it been?
Of course, before he died, as he was getting older, he would make a lot of elaborate statements of different things that he foresaw for the future of humanity, things that he believed that he was going to be able to create that would improve life for humanity. One of those things that he worked on is now known today as the death ray. I'm sure a lot of people have heard that term before, the death ray. Well, most people don't realize Nikola Tesla was the person who actually coined that phrase. That was his way of conveying to people that he was going to be able to create a high-powered weapon that was electrical in nature. In other words, a laser-type device that would be able to take out an enemy fleet of airplanes. He presented it that he was going to give it to everyone in the world to make war obsolete, because he didn't believe in war. He wanted an end to all wars. And he figured if everybody had the same high-powered weapons, that it wouldn't even be worth fighting anymore. And a lot of people say, well, they never did that. Well, I got to call bullshit on those people. You can actually get on YouTube, look up the Laws weapon. L-A-W-S. The Laws weapon is a laser weapon system. The United States Navy has them on board many of their ships right now. We've been known to put them in the nose cone of aircraft. We've also have developed land-based Laws systems. One of the coolest videos from NASA I've ever seen was taken from one of the space shuttle missions. You clearly see an object moving towards Earth. Just before it gets to the atmosphere, it stopped, turned around, moves away at about a 45-degree angle from what it was at a very high rate of speed, and all of a sudden you see something that looks like a shimmering bolt of lightning shoot up from the Earth's surface and went right through where that UFO was. You have to ask yourself, was that Tesla's Laws weapon? If it was, that's a scary, scary thing that we actually have those kind of weapons. It's a proven fact now that, yes, the United States Navy has things like that. They've got the rail gun. Then to have this laser weapon system mounted on ships is just, it'll blow your fucking mind when you look at all the different weapons and that we have. And again, this is all due to Nikola Tesla.
The death ray, they think a lot of people blame that on that meteor that allegedly crashed in Russia back in 1908.
A lot of people say, well, that was a meteor. That's the mainstream story to it. And other people say, no, that was actually Nikola Tesla trying to put on an artificial aurora borealis to secure financing to finish Wardenclyffe. The theory is that Tesla more or less fired up this device. He was going to fire it into the atmosphere above the North Pole. There was some type of miscalculation or a misfire. It ended up coming up short in Siberia. I don't know how much truth there is to it. I've never really looked at it to see what type of shot that would have to require in order for that to happen. But do I say it's a possibility? Yeah, I would have to say that's a damn good possibility.
Yeah, I think it's possible. Whether or not it was actually that's actually what happened, I don't know. But
right. And for a lot of people out there, you might be listening to this and saying, there's no way in hell he was able to do that. You have to keep one thing in mind about Nikola Tesla. That is something that happened back in the day. Albert Einstein, when he won the Nobel Prize, he stepped out and a reporter asked him, how does it feel to be the world's smartest man? Einstein gave the best answer I've ever heard. I don't know. For that, you're going to need to ask Mr. Tesla, because he knew that Nikola Tesla was so much smarter than him. If you have this man who's been brought out in the public as being this world's most intelligent man, Albert Einstein, and he says, no, I'm sorry, but Nikola Tesla is the world's smartest man, I think maybe we should pay a little bit of attention to that.
A lot of the stuff that he's done, it's just so much interesting stuff. And it's like, how could one person just be so scattered out all over all kinds of different things?
Well,
people now are also one-dimensional. They do one thing, and that's all they do. And
right. I can't really say a whole lot, because with the way my brain operates, it operates completely differently. I know I have a few loose wires, and as a lot of people said that Tesla did, a lot of people think that Tesla had sort of lost his marbles by the end of his life. I don't think so. This man was 78 years old when he came out with the idea of the death ray. A few weeks before he died was when he came out and made his announcement that he had looked at Einstein's general theory of relativity and was able to determine that Einstein was wrong and that he was officially going to release this information. However, he passed away before he was able to do that. And the world is, we're a hell of a lot dumber for that not having happened. I couldn't even imagine if he had some type of conflicting theory that came out able to prove Einstein wrong. Imagine what the world of science would be like if Tesla were able to do that.
Yeah, but would that have been covered up as well, though, had he been able to do that?
Yeah, it very well could have. There was so much of his life that was just covered up. It really pisses me off, I think, the more I read into it and the more I see how much of his life was just taken away from him, how much of his work was taken away from him. That the world, even though we may hear about everything that we think is Nikola Tesla's life, and it still isn't going to be all of it. Like you said, the government stepped in and took all of his work. So how do we know that they're ever going to give that work back to the people the way Tesla wanted it? It isn't going to happen.
No, it never will. It never will. As far as everybody else, I mean, he was just considered to be kind of crazy to where his stuff can't possibly work, even though the government can't possibly work, wink, wink. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's kind of funny talking about how they say, well, he more or less lost his mind when he got older. A lot of people point to an interview that he once gave about a pigeon. When he lost everything, he sort of kind of collapsed in on himself. He became very inward, even more so than what he had been. He had a lot of things that he did in his life that at the time were probably just considered weird, but everybody figured he was eccentric. He would use something like 17 towels a day, just crazy stuff like that. When he would eat dinner, he would ask for precisely 13 napkins. All kinds of little things like that. I think the man was simply a little bit OCD. But getting back to the pigeon, a lot of people thought that he was going nuts and because of this interview, because he talked about how much he loved the pigeon. He said, I love this pigeon as much as a man could ever love a woman. People said, oh, that's just kind of weird. Well, what the fuck do people do now? My house is like a fucking zoo. It, kind of like Noah's Ark. I've got two of everything. What do people say all the time about their animals? Well, this is my baby. These are my children, my fur babies. And everybody treats their animals very much like a human. It's the exact same thing that he was saying the first quarter of last century. He was basically just saying the same thing. Yeah, I love right. animals. I don't think he was loving animals because it was cold outside. You know, not that kind of way. But I think he had a true passion for the animal. I think he had a passion for the simplicity of life for animals. I really do.
Yeah, I believe he did. When getting back to like the difference between him and Edison, you know, Edison killed how many animals or this, that, and the right. other, and created the electric chair for the love of God. You know what I'm saying? And so here, this guy, just because he loves the animals and stuff, well, he's crazy and out of his mind, as we're nowadays, we don't give it two thoughts if somebody says they love their dog or their cat or their fish or their bird. But back then, they spent too much time calling him crazy than they did. If they'd have spent that much time listening to him, I think it would have been a lot different story.
I think it's kind of funny, too, the way that they said, oh, well, he was losing his mind. But yet at the same time, Tesla said, yeah, I want to create this death ray to bring world peace about. Somebody who is completely out of their fucking mind is not going to be sitting there going, oh, I love a pigeon. And then turn around no. and say, I'm going to bring peace to the world by giving everybody the same over-the-top weapon. To me, the whole idea that Tesla was of unbalanced mind goes right out the window.
Yeah, I don't buy that. I just think he was just your typical inventor, and people back then, that's what they thought of him, man. It's if your ideas seem to be too far-fetched, that you were crazy for coming up with it. I mean, everybody was.
Exactly. People without their minds oftentimes are considered to be crazy or thought of as crazy. But at the same time, what a lot of it comes down to is they simply have a different way of looking at things. And that's how things are invented.
Right.
That brings about necessity, and necessity is the mother of all invention.
Right. If you look at a lot of things, the guy that comes up with the idea, he's crazy. The guy that comes up with the idea the second time around, well, he's the one that gets all the credit and makes all the money from it.
Right. Very, very true.
It's just
true.
Like in his life, all the stuff he came up with that Edison stole, took all the credit, got all the glory. Okay, Marconi the same way. Here he comes up with all the technical information. Marconi steals it and gets all the money, all the glory, and everything that goes along with it. While everybody still considers Tesla to be crazy. It's the same thing, like if he would have disproved Einstein. Well, Einstein was the government's boy.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way that could never come out.
Right. And like I brought up last episode, Einstein was simply the face of science at the time. And you just nailed it right there, Paul, that he was the government's boy.
Yeah. And he was somebody, you know, they figured Tesla, well, you know, we're not so much worried about pissing him off, because if we do, we don't know if any of his stuff's actually going to be legit anyway.
Right.
Know, as were Einstein's theories, being that he had proved them or what have you, the government, well, we're going to need this guy, so let's not piss him off. You know.
Right.
So, well, he was, the government liked him, the government backed him. You know, if you get the government on your side to an extent, you're in good shape. If you're against the government, well, you know how that can be.
Oh, yeah, so absolutely.
It's a shame that a lot of that has to go that way, but unfortunately, it does.
Right. Take a break here, and we'll pay some bills. So what are your ideas about Nikola Tesla?
What do you mean by ideas?
I mean, as far as the person, do you think he was crazy by the end of his life?
No, I don't think he was at all.
No, I don't either.
I don't think he was crazy at all. When you have ideas that people seem to think are so far-fetched that, I mean, a lot of people don't think that way now. Because, you know, we've seen that so much is possible now.
Right. Everything and, I think we use in modern technology comes from him.
Yeah. Even you and I, 30, 40 years ago, if you'd have told us some of the stuff that we have nowadays, it'd be, no, you're crazy.
Right.
You know? I mean, you take video games, for instance. Gosh, you go back and you remember what the Atari 2600 was like. Could things ever really be like they are now?
No.
And even greater than what they are now? No, you would have never thought it. But it happened.
I'm looking forward, and I hope within our lifetime, I hope they come out with a holodeck.
I wouldn't be too surprised if they do.
No, me either.
I mean, if you think about it, that's what your virtual reality type stuff is.
That's what they say is virtual reality is the first step to a holodeck.
You know, it's when you're able to immerse yourself in historical events that actually happened.
Let's just hope that video game developers do a better job of history than what historians have. We've got this whole situation with Edison and Tesla, which is a very good example.
Right. I've actually known people that were history majors from college and stuff that their idea of what this event in history was and what actually was, it's like, okay, man, but you need to go back and look and double check because I think you're wrong.
To me, a lot of it comes down to exactly what they said in the movie Good Will Hunting. It was Matt Damon that said it when he told the guy, 50 years from now, you're going to wake up one morning and you're going to realize you spent $100,000 on an education you could have got for $1.32 in late fees at the local library.
Right.
We have so many people that are college educated, yes, but what is a college education? What is all education? It's what someone else tells us. And that's what we've got to learn to look at is people say, well, you have to have that college degree. No, not really. You do, as far as society is concerned, but as far as actual knowledge or learning, you've got to be able to step away from things. For instance, this is another great example, is the whole Nikola Tesla Thomas Edison argument. People are starting to find out now just what a bastard Edison really was. And people are starting to look at Tesla now in a whole new light.
Oh, yeah. But that's just if people, if they choose to do the investigation on their own, they rely on what history books tell them and historians and experts and shit. Well, oh, no, it'll never, stuff like that will never change.
Right. Well, it's a whole idea of UFOs in general. If we were to believe everything the mainstream media or scientists and everything else, if we believe everything that they tell us about the entire field of ufology, nobody would be out doing it. But it's people right. who have the knowledge and the education, and they didn't get it from a school program. They developed all of it on their own. They know. They see what is out there.
Well, it's the people that just, they're just not accepting everything that gets thrown at them. There's a lot of people in the world nowadays that they don't challenge much of anything.
No.
Whatever is told to them has got to be real, and that's got to be the truth, and there's no other way around it.
Right.
And I think a lot of that stuff is the same way with between Tesla and Edison. It's just like when we were kids, how Edison was made out to be this great American hero or whatever, and Tesla's name never even got mentioned.
No.
I never heard his name till it had to have been in the 80s when I heard his name first.
Right.
You never heard it.
Right. I think that the rock band Tesla, when they came out, they did a lot in their album. They had pictures of Nikola Tesla sitting in his various workshops and stuff like that, and they told right. the story of Nikola Tesla. And I think that got some people kind of curious, going, who the hell is this guy sitting in the middle of a room with thousands of lightning bolts shooting over his head?
Right.
I think people wanted to know more about him, and people started looking into it. Then, of course, there is just uber geeks like you and I are that started reading into it on our own.
Right. And of course, back in the 80s and whatever, it was, you know, you didn't have the internet at your fingertips either. So
no.
You kind of had to get what you could. And,
you were extremely high-tech if you were like me back in the day and you even knew about bulletin boards.
Yeah, not a lot of people did. And
no.
I don't know that there was a whole lot of stuff you could find on there that was informative either, but it was good for other things.
Oh, sure. Sure. Every now and then you would find different things on there, like the Anarchist Cookbook.
Right, right. But I think a lot of just the way people see things, and people hear one story in history and they think it's got to be the only one. It can't be any other. It can't be any other way of telling this story that makes it sound wrong or totally false. And the Wikipedia stuff here, well, you know, it leaves out stuff that he did too. People either didn't know when they put this on there, or it was chose to be left out, or what was it, censored out? I don't know.
Right. Tesla actually gave a speech at one time, and I have it here, and I'm going to read it here real quick, and then I want to kind of give my opinion of it. Electric power is everywhere present in unlimited quantities and can drive the world's machinery without the need for coal, oil, gas, or other fuels. This new power for the driving of the world's machinery will be derived from the energy which operates the universe, the cosmic energy, whose central source for the Earth is the sun, and in which everywhere present in unlimited quantities. Now, a lot of people hear that, and they immediately say, well, Tesla must have been talking about solar power. And that's a very good possibility.
I think he was thinking of something deeper than that.
And that's what I was going to get at. Within the past few years, a lot of people have heard about this star that they believe may have been the alien megastructure. Well, one of the theories behind it was that if it was in fact an intelligent alien species, they may be harnessing the power of their sun using something called a Dyson sphere to collect the energy and be able to distribute it throughout their civilization. I believe personally that that's more or less something that I think would be more up Tesla's alley. I believe that Tesla was looking at something possibly like a Dyson sphere, that we could harness the full capability of the sun. Not just a matter of using solar power to power things, but I think he went beyond that.
No, and they use an energy collector up in space, and they use microwaves to bring it back down to the Earth.
Right.
That's something that some people believe is in the works, that that's actually going to happen.
Right.
And they actually think that it'll be, the energy will be free. I don't think that part of it would happen, but, you know.
If it comes down to that, I think we're going to hear the J.P. Morgan quote once again. If it's free, then where do I put the meter?
Right. Yeah, I don't believe anything's ever going to be free. You're never going to get anything free, and you're never going to get anything cheap when it comes to any kind of energy whatsoever, unless you create it yourself.
And even then, you have a lot of municipalities and states limiting how people can do that.
Right.
It's illegal in some states to collect fucking rainwater. What the hell is that? You mean to tell me that collecting simple water is against the law? What the hell are we doing as a society? We should be encouraging people to do that.
Yeah. Instead of community water to water your plants or to water your lawn, you could, I mean, come on.
Right. Something I brought up earlier was the fact that Tesla claimed that he had received a signal from space. And I also threw out the theory that is out there that he may have actually been receiving a transmission from the Black Knight satellite. However, Tesla, when speaking about it, he used the term, "I have been in contact with the Marshals." He, of course, was a big proponent of life being on Mars at the time. He wasn't completely sure of it, but he thought that there was a very good possibility that there was life on Mars. I believe that there may be a confusion there, I think, with people when he said that he had received a transmission from the Marshals. I believe that when he said the word Marshals, everybody thought that he meant Martians, therefore coming from Mars. I'm not very sure about that. I think Marshals may have actually been the right word. It could be that they may have been from somewhere else other than Mars.
Yeah, that's probably about right. I mean,
in modern science as well, Tesla may have just tuned into the frequency of the universe because there's this harmonic resonance throughout the universe that does produce a sound. And that may have been what Tesla picked up. Number one, you're not dealing with a stupid man.
And he could have picked up on that, which I don't doubt that he did, because I think he was that much smarter than everybody else to be in tune with something like that.
Right. That's just it. They treat him as if he were of average intelligence or of their intelligence level.
No.
He was far beyond that. I think he knew the difference in the sound that was coming from the universe and what he heard. He said very plainly, "I distinctly heard 1, 2, 3. There has also been rumors that he heard more than that, which I believe is also a possibility too. He had made some journal entries that not only did he hear 1, 2, 3, but he also carried on a short conversation. And that's how he knew it came from a race of aliens that he referred to as the Marshals. That's a very interesting story when you take a look at it, because it's something that you're definitely not going to find on Wikipedia or mainstream news about Nikola Tesla. It was something that is on the fringe or conspiracy people get into. I'm a huge conspiracy fan, but I believe that Tesla very well could have been in contact with other people or other civilizations in the universe, and he may very well have carried on a conversation. A lot of people ask the question today of, if there's so much life out in the universe, how come they've never visited here? There's a very, very simple answer, and I'm going to break it down as easy as I can. We're too fucking stupid.
Yeah, I think that just breaks it down pretty easily.
Yeah, as far as a species, think about it. We can't go in one decade without killing each other. Every single day, you turn on the news, you hear about people in your local community being beaten, being killed, being raped, all of these different things. as a higher species, who the hell would ever want to go live among them or go visit them? I can tell you right now, the piranha are some bad motherfuckers. There's no way I'm going to go climb in a goddamn river with a bunch of them.
No.
And that's exactly the way we've got to take a look at this. We're ant in the universe. We are nothing. We are
right.
not nearly the people that we think that we are. We are not as intelligent as what we think we are. And we've got to quit thinking like that, because if there's an outside species taking a look at us, that's what they're going to see. They're going to see the piranha that sit there and they fight amongst each other. They do all of the shit that we do to one another, and they're going to say, I want no part of this.
Yeah, why would they?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no interest. There's no reason for anything here. It's...
No, that's something that I disagree with a lot of ancient alien theorists on, or ancient astronauts, however you want to put it. A lot of them say, well, these alien species visit our planet so that they can mine our natural resources. Bullshit. You look anywhere else in the universe, probably every solar system has planets that have the same resources that we do. They're not going to travel billions of light years to come here and get gold. It isn't going to happen. What the hell would they need gold for? Gold only means something to human beings. It doesn't mean anything to anybody else. So therefore, they're going to leave us the hell alone. They have no real reason to come here. Again, going back to the whole Tesla Edison thing. Why the hell would they come here when the smartest man who has ever lived on the face of this planet has been buried in history? They know damn well that someone like Tesla was the most intelligent man. I don't know how much that's really saying about humanity. I know that to me it says Tesla was a great man, and he was this great inventor, the most intelligent man probably that ever lived, certainly gave more to the world than anybody else. As a society, we bury him. We completely disregard his work, even though I think that our government is actually working on a hell of a lot, if not already developed a lot of his work.
I think a lot of it had already been developed, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. To me, the death ray is the perfect example. Just look at the Laws weapon on the Navy ships. It's unreal. When you take a look at drone technology, it's amazing how much of his technology I see being brought to the world. I know that recently there's been a new television series started called The Tesla Files on the History Channel. It's a great show where they are trying to track down the paperwork that was missing, and they talk about his inventions that are missing, and they talk about some of his patents on things like helicopters or the rotating blade. It was a device that would lift off as a helicopter, the blades would rotate, and it would fly as an airplane. Well, we have that technology now in our airplanes. And even the pilots that they talk to on there are saying, yeah, but you're absolutely right. This was taken straight out of Tesla's mind.
Yeah, a lot of his inventions and stuff, and I don't think a lot of this has even scratched the surface, because you really don't know how fast ideas actually came to his mind, how fast they came to his mind, how fast he realized them, and how fast he put them on paper. We have no idea
right.
of what that is.
He always described them as flashes of light. And he would have these visions. Something that has often been misused against him, saying, well, obviously he had mental problems because he talked about having visions. Not really. To me, that proves absolutely nothing. If you have a flash or whatever you want to call it, and it leads to something, he would have these ideas. For instance, one of his motors, when he first envisioned that, he saw it and he said he was able to actually turn it and look at it in his mind from every possible angle. And he never really had to put anything down on paper, because by the time he quit thinking about it, it would work flawlessly. And he was able to go straight into the lab and build the device right then and there. And of course, a lot of people think, well, maybe that's some type of alien influence on him. I don't necessarily believe that. But the man would receive these flashes, just projections of these different inventions. Well, what do we call it? What do we call it when a person has an idea? Oh, they had a spark of imagination, or they had a spark of an idea. Basically, the same thing. It's a comparison of a flash of light. So I don't necessarily think it makes that man crazy. I think that he just had a different way of inventing than most people.
Probably. I mean, his ideas, you know, they just judging at how many patents he had, his ideas had to come, or to use a term that I really don't like, fast and furious, really. But I mean, one right after another. And he had to have had the mental capacity to realize them.
Right.
You and I get ideas, but we don't realize them. As the average person doesn't realize a lot of the stuff that pops into their mind.
Right. Well, you and I are exactly like the slogan I've come up with for us, and that two dumb guys talking about smart things. You and I will be the first people to admit that we are not the most intelligent people, but at the same time, hopefully our conversations between the two of us can spark, there's that word again, can hopefully spark ideas in other people, give them a little bit of incentive to move forward.
Right. I mean, and that's what, you know, this show's all about. If you're tuning in to hear stories of, I don't know, graveyards and shit like that, yeah, you may hear a few of them here and there, but, you know, we're just basically two people just having a conversation about this topic, which we may get off on other tangents. That's going to happen.
Especially when we drink.
Yeah, well, yeah. And, you know, and occasionally we'll have other people on to, you know, talk about it as well, having a third person involved in the discussion. So, we're not experts by any means, though. So.
No. We are literally two dumb guys talking about smart things. And occasionally we have a good idea. I think the thing that I love about it is we've been able to take our everyday conversations between the two of us and turn them into a podcast.
So far.
So far, yeah.
But I think, yeah, some of it is, you know, you get off on different things. But what, you know, we're not, what we're trying to do is certain, just a different opinion of things that, because neither one of us subscribe to the philosophy of everything that everybody else subscribes to, you
know? Right. We definitely march to our own beat.
A lot of stuff I don't buy into what I'm told all the time. Sometimes I do, and a lot of times I don't. And when I don't, well, I'm gonna look.
Exactly.
And when I look, I may find. When I look, I may not find.
Usually, when you're given information anymore, especially we hear it a lot of times, that there's fake news. Well, yeah, there really is. And we've known about it for years. There's fake news. When I say fake news, I don't necessarily mean turning on CNN and catching them in a lie. To me, fake news is also history books that promote Thomas Edison and you never hear of Nikola Tesla. That's fake. All of it really is. The way I take a look at it is, if you don't think that the media has an agenda, just remember this. Time magazine once made Adolf Hitler Man of the Year. What does that tell you about things that we are taught? At one time they were saying he was this great man. He was going to lead the world, or at least lead Germany. Well, turned out to be completely the opposite of what they thought it was going to be. Just turned out to be one of the most evil people I think that has ever walked the face of the earth. But at one time, he was actually considered and regarded as one of the true future leaders.
You know, there's another story that people didn't, back then, they didn't look at. But then, you know, one other thing that I find is that what you're told in this country is not what you're being told in other countries.
Right.
And I'm wondering, you know, are the history books the same way? The ones that are written here, are they telling one history? And is the history books in Europe that are being written, are they telling another history? Are the books over there, do they portray Tesla in the same light that ours do over here?
Right. That's actually a very good point. I believe that in certain countries that Edison is push forward. That comes a lot, I think, from the American chest pounding, that we've always tried to maintain ourselves as being the greatest country and the world leader at everything. So we've always wanted an American being pushed out in front of everybody, especially in the case of Tesla. With everything going on in the world lately about immigration and everything, Nikola Tesla was from Serbia, but a lot of people don't realize he became a naturalized U.S. citizen.
Right.
And he would have been just as good as Edison had they have pushed him out there. But the simple fact that Edison was American born, it's right. That whole American chest pounding thing that,
yeah,
that I can't stand.
Yeah. Local boy does good, you know?
Exactly. I think we forced it on a lot of the world, but that's an interesting point that you bring up. A few years ago, I was the project manager for an IT company, and we travel all around the state of Texas. Most of the guys that worked for me were foreign. Most of them were from Africa or the Middle East. Just a great group of guys. But I remember one time, I think we were driving from McAllen back to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We used to carry on conversations about all kinds of stupid shit. I asked him one day, what do you guys think is the biggest difference between what you thought America was and what you realized it was once you got here? And they all said the same thing. The American propaganda is the worst thing. They said over in their country, when they see a commercial or a movie about America, they said they're only ever showing the green rolling hills and the beautiful skyline or the wild horses running through the field. They said you never hear about the homeless people, and you never hear about people that may have mental issues and things like that that are out on the streets. They said you never hear about that. You only ever see the good side of America.
Well, that's because that's what they want everybody to see. Because if the rest of the world could see what this place is actually really like, all the people that want to come here, I got news for you. You know, you can think that it's life here is not all gravy. I can tell you that right now.
You know why they want to come here? Very, very simple. Space Force.
Yeah, that's it. They want to see it in action, I'm sure.
Yeah. I highly encourage everyone, though, to read anything and everything you can get your hands on when it comes to Nikola Tesla. The man was just so brilliant. And at the same time, read everything you can about people like Thomas Edison. Don't take our word for it that Edison was this fraud, or really sit down and read into it. For the people who, like us, were taught when you were younger that Thomas Edison was this great inventor. The man, he was great at marketing, but he sucked as an inventor. However, he was smart enough to surround himself with a bunch of smart people, people who actually could invent things. When he did that, part of what his motive was, he would hire all of these people who were very, very intelligent. They would invent things, but part of his whole process was, in order for them to come work for him, they had to sign this paperwork that more or less said anything that they developed became the sole property of Thomas Edison. If you don't believe me, look into it. You'll see it. Same thing at motion picture and things like that. Edison had nothing whatsoever to do with that, but he's given credit for it. And
Right. Pretty
much every invention he ever come up with was like that. However, you have somebody like Nikola Tesla, who is responsible for the entire modern age, probably, without a doubt, the world's most intelligent man. We basically lived in total darkness. He's born. All of a sudden, we have electricity. We have computers that evolve out of it. We have remote control. We got sharks with freaking laser, because that's pretty much what he gave the world. That's how intelligent that man was. It's really inconceivable, everything he did for the world. And to me, we were no more really the caveman dragging his knuckles across a cave floor until he came along. And yes, we've made a lot of leaps and bounds since his life, but everything we have is standing on his shoulders. The world may not ever have another Nikola Tesla.
That's my next question is, are you aware of anybody now that I would say even comes close, but I don't think that's a possibility. But is there anybody now that is capable?
I think that there probably is, as funny as what that sounds, because the population of the world has expanded so much, and we've grown exponentially as far as our population. I think that the person who is the next Nikola Tesla is probably some kid in a third world country who isn't going to have the opportunity for an education. He's not going to have the opportunity to get out in front of mainstream scientists and show the world what is out there. It's going to take somebody who is really going to have to grab a hold of themselves and pull themselves up by the bootstraps.
But if somebody that doesn't have the education now, because you have to think that when Tesla was in his younger days, yeah, you may not have had all the diplomas from here, there, and everything else, and you could get by. Because now the world is so college-driven that if you don't have this degree, you don't even get in the front door.
Right.
So if there is anybody like him that maybe didn't get an education, are they going to be stifled or...
Yes.
Will they be given a chance?
I think absolutely they would be stifled, especially here in America, because of the way that we are. We have to be the best at everything. We still
and
have
we're not.
That. Right.
You know,
but we have that American chest pounding mentality. You and I have talked about this before. We're both huge soccer fans or football, if you're from the rest of the world. We've talked about it several times. Both of us have said the same thing. Had Pele have been born in the United States, he would have been Pele the trash man. And the world would have never known who he was.
Right.
Why? Because he was this kid from the barrio. He grew up in the favela and he made something of himself. He did everything he could. If anybody was driving around this country and they saw some kid out in the middle of the projects kicking a frigging grapefruit around, they're not going to give the kid the time.
They wouldn't even
day.
Think twice.
Yeah. That's the mentality that we have, rather than taking a look at each person and giving each person merit for what they can do. We are too quick to prejudge them. You and I, neither one, have a college degree. We both know far too well how we are judged by not having that.
Yeah. You know, I also know people that do have college degrees and are...
I'm going to say this, and I may offend some people, but hey, it's just me. It's who I am. I offend people. I've known a lot of people with college degrees. I'm talking master's degrees and PhDs that are some of the most intelligent book people that I know, but are some of the dumbest fucking people that I know. I call them college-educated idiots, and there's a lot of them out there. Just because a person has a degree does not mean anything to me. I've known people that have a master's degree that can't even fry an egg. And I mean that in all seriousness. They could not even fry an egg. What the hell? You have a college degree and you can't even do that? It's useless to me.
I agree. And there's a lot of it. And that's what I mean. So you have somebody like Tesla that... Oh, and one other thing as far as with him. You know, he was a loner by himself with a lot of that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, nowadays, it's not so much the individual that's encouraged as it is to be part of a team, to work with a group of people.
Right.
That means that you're not really, you're relying on the guy next to you to come up with an idea that you can't.
Right. There's probably no better modern analogy of it than NASA recently announcing that they've discovered the new ninth planet, what would have been the 10th planet. The new ninth planet. Oh, well, we've pretty much made that discovery. You know, we see evidence that there's movement of objects in the Kuiper Belt, which are being affected by gravity, yada, yada, yada. nobody, and I mean nobody, is willing to give credit to Zachariah Sitchin for that. He was the first one to say, hey, there's another fucking planet out there. Nobody is willing to say he was right. Instead, they want to go with the people that have the college education, or specifically a college education within that discipline. They don't want to listen to the guy who unraveled the mystery to it. The world has already forgotten who it was who first came out and said that there was another planet. You get NASA jumping up and down that they've discovered this other planet, and they didn't really discover anything. It was already discovered before them. And to me,
but did NASA really discover it?
Right. The only thing they've seen so far are traces of it. And,
or should I say, which NASA discovered it?
Right. Exactly. Again, a whole nother conversation. But that's what I believe the world would do to a new Nikola Tesla. You wouldn't have this renegade scientist out there.
No, you wouldn't.
You know, if you have a scientist that bucks the system, nobody is going to listen to them. Even though this is the world's smartest man, nobody's going to listen to him. They're going to shoot down his theories. They're going to make fun of him. They're going to say his alternating current machine kills animals.
Anything that he would do nowadays would be so heavily scrutinized that he wouldn't even want to be public with any of it.
Exactly.
So the chances are that even if another Nikola Tesla comes along, he's going to say, you know what? I'm sitting this one out. I'll do my stuff on my own, but I'm keeping it quiet.
Wait till I'm reincarnated two or three lifetimes from now.
Yeah. By then, maybe this world can handle things that it can't understand.
Right.
I doubt it, but okay.
I think that pretty much wraps up our show for tonight. We're looking forward to the next one, which is going to be George Washington's visitations. Again, it's a subject that a lot of people don't really know about. George Washington claimed to have been visited by angels. Well, what he considered to be angels while he was at Valley Forge, which I think is going to make another interesting topic for us next week.
Yeah, it's one that's not talked about a lot. I know very little of it. It is an interesting topic, and it's one that, like I said, isn't discussed a whole lot.
Yeah, it's going to be our special 4th of July edition. Of course, it's going to be after the 4th. It's going to pertain to the founding of America. I think that visitation was very significant to the founding of the United States.
Quite possibly was.
But I want to thank everybody for tuning into this and listening to us ramble on. Hopefully we kicked a few things in gear maybe for you and at least got you interested to take a look a little bit further at the life of Nikola Tesla. Open your mind up a little bit to what he was really trying to accomplish. If anybody out there happens to like what we're doing, we could really use some support. I hate to ask for people to help us out in any way, but we really could use some support. You could go to our website, alienpodcast.net, at which point you can become a member there and get access to quite a bit more than what everybody else does. Paul and I are going to be doing some separate conversations that are not going to be broadcast out to everybody else. There's going to be some new information that comes on there. I'm working on a video right now for, it's not my invention, but I'm going to be showing people how to create something, which pretty interesting as far as the possibility of communicating with UFOs. If you go to our website and do that, here within the next few weeks, we should have our Patreon page up and running, which is going to be patreon.com/alienpodcast. You'll be able to go there and join us as well. What happens with either one of those situations is for as little as $1 a month, you can see what goes on the backside and get a whole lot more information than what people do just by listening to the podcast or seeing any of our videos. Hopefully, as more and more people begin to listen to this, maybe we'll get quite a few more people interested in and really liking the ideas that we bring out there.
And if you like what you hear, pass it along.
As they say, like, share, and subscribe.
Not sure you like what you hear? Give us a chance. We're trying to improve all the time.
We work on improving. We know that, as I said earlier, we're just kind of dumb guys talking about smart things, and hopefully we're going to continue to get a little bit better doing this. Also, anytime anybody would like to call into the show, we are recording everything on Saturday evenings between 7 and 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Anybody is more than welcome to call into the show. We can talk to you about just about anything, or we can sit back and we can just listen to what you have to say. In order to reach us, you can simply call 573-4-Area-51. I hope everybody has a good evening, good rest of their week, and we'll be looking forward to coming back here next week.
From the great state of Texas and the so-so state of Missouri, we wish you a good night and a good rest of your weekend, and we'll be back next Saturday to Tech Culture once again.
Good night.
To find out more about the show, or promptly send your death threats, or for your free, no-obligation anal probe, please visit alienpodcast.net.
I'll give you a call here in a minute, Paul.
All right.
Hey, you, with a rhinestone dog collar. Between us dogs, I just convinced my human to upgrade to a new home with a 1,200-square-foot bathroom. I think she called it a yard. With Wells Fargo's 3% down mortgage option, my human realized a new home was within reach, and I only gave her puppy eyes once. Get your human to talk to a mortgage consultant or learn more at wellsfargo.com/woof.
Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. Down payments as low as 3% on a fixed-rate loan require mortgage insurance. Ask a home mortgage consultant about loan requirements. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., Equal Housing Lender, NMLSR ID 399801.
Hey, you, with a rhinestone dog collar. Between us dogs, I just convinced my human to upgrade to a new home with a 1,200-square-foot bathroom. I think she called it a yard. With Wells Fargo's 3% down mortgage option, my human realized a new home was within reach, and I only gave her puppy eyes once. Get your human to talk to a mortgage consultant or learn more at wellsfargo.com/woof.
Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. Down payments as low as 3% on a fixed-rate loan require mortgage insurance. Ask a home mortgage consultant about loan requirements. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., Equal Housing Lender, NMLSR ID 399801.